I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We say those words every week. Sometimes it's tough to believe them, though. And in theory, we do, but then when we reflect on this period in our lives, we realize this year has tested that. Because whenever we don't have control and we're in the midst of chaos, the first thing that gets hit the hardest is our faith in God's power and his goodness and his providence. We start thinking, God, I don't know if you really are powerful. Or we still accept it in theory, but say, okay, Lord, you can be Lord up there, but down here, I need to be the one that makes things better. I need to be the one that has the control over my family, over my friends. We tend to think in terms limited to this world. Because I think we've accepted, fallen into apocalyptic despair. We've kind of thought there's so much beyond my control. If it's not the pandemic, it's the election. If it's not the election, it's natural disasters. And we can't see outcomes that are good. We think if he gets elected, oh, it's going to be terrible and awful and all the worst things. But if he gets elected, oh, it's going to be terrible and awful and all the worst things. We see that there's this pandemic. And we see that our physical health is in danger. And so we think we got to lock down. But then our mental and emotional and financial health is in danger. And it seems like we're in this catch-22 and there's this despair of thinking, there's nothing that we can do. The powers of this world are too strong. But is God still God? Yes. He is still the Almighty. See, our view of this world and of reality is so limited when we buy into this despair of thinking that the solution to everything is political or the solution to everything is within my grasp. No, our Lord can work through anything and anyone. He never ceased being the sovereign ruler of all the universe. Yes, he gives us freedom. He lets our actions have consequences. But he's still ultimately the one in control. And that is shown us beautifully in the first reading today. The first reading today, it was God speaking to his anointed. And do you know who his anointed was in the context of this reading from Isaiah? Cyrus. Now, typically prophets and kings and priests are the ones that are anointed. People of Israel. Cyrus was a pagan ruler, riddled with his own imperfections. And God still worked through him to show, you can't mess it up so badly that I can't fix it. I can even work through a pagan ruler and have him be my anointed, unworthy though he be. And I can fix some of the things that you've broken through someone that imperfect. Because God is still God. And he's still in control. He's still almighty and greater than the powers of this world, even though we seem to be under the cloud of thinking, oh no, it's just darkness and light could never break through. The light of the gospel can always break through. So what, are we just passive in the midst of all of this that's happening in the world and election time that just has us all tense? Do we just say, well, God can work through either one, so I'm just going to, you know, put my head in the sand and hopefully wake up in mid-November and just see what happens? Well, no. Because even though it is absolutely true that the Lord can work through anyone and anything, we cannot limit his power, we do still have a responsibility. Because he did say to us in the gospel, he said, then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. There he made quite clear, we do actually have a civic duty. We do have to care for one another in the public sphere. We do have to speak up for those who may not have a voice of their own. Right? All of the gospel does have a bearing on who we are in public. But it doesn't give us, like who we are in public, our political life, our vote, our whatever, That doesn't strike to the core of our identity. That's what he's showing us today. In render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, he says your deepest identity is not with a political party. Your deepest identity is not with a social movement. Your deepest identity is in God. Yes, you give some of your time and effort and energy into the public life, into political action, but you give your core to the Lord. Because just as those coins had the inscription of Caesar on them and his image, so you have the image of God inscribed into your being. And so every single thing about you, every detail of your life is inscribed with that infinite meaning that you are a child of God. That comes with a grave responsibility to act as a child of God, to realize that the dignity of every single other person is of infinite worth because they too were made in that same image. The coins with Caesar's face, yeah, give them to Caesar. But the human beings who have the image of God, you fight to your last breath to uphold their dignity. And so, in this time of chaos and tension, in this time when we know that very important things are happening, important decisions are being made, we don't drown in despair, but we realize that no matter what, God will still be in control. But we think, how can I, as a son or a daughter of God, express that divine sonship best? How can I best work to respect the dignity and fight for every single human life that has been inscribed with God's very image on it? Well, the bishops, they use the language of preeminent issue, right? There's so many important things out there. It's as if there was this house, and that house is the society in which we live, and that house has got some problems. I mean, the plumbing is terrible. It's going to flood any minute. The electrical, even worse. I mean, this thing could just go up in flames any day now. Then the structure itself, ooh, it is unsound. Somebody needs to go in there before it topples over. These are all very important issues. But there's one that's not only just as important, but also urgent. And that's that the house is on fire, right? It is going to burn to a crisp until we deal with that problem first and then get to all the other ones, right? Our job's not done once we put the fire out. Then we got to fix the plumbing, fix the electrical. We got to look at how sound the building is, right? They're all of equal importance, but one is more urgent than the others. That's what the bishops mean by preeminent issue. That means just as important as the rest, but crucially urgent. Friends, the house we live in has been burning since 1973. Right? We have legalized and thereby encouraged the killing of a child in the womb. And we can talk about how much more we need to be doing to help women in these troubling situations. Absolutely, we should be doing so much more. But the house is on fire as long as we have legal the killing of children who are made in the image and likeness of God Almighty. So that's why it's preeminent, not because it's more important, but because it's both important and urgent. Friends, in everything that we do, we remember that we are sons and daughters of God Most High. We remember that He is the one that has the power, and so we do not drown in despair for the powers of this world, but we do all that we can to uphold the dignity and protect the life of every single one of God's sons and daughters made in His image and likeness, because we know that they, like we, have infinite worth in the eyes of God.